This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
Apparently, Forbes, the way this is written anyway, seems like Forbes thinks this Obamacare repeal bill is fantastic.
Well, it's I figured pulling the Forbes one would be interesting because most people don't like it.
Repeal bill abolishes tax hikes, expands HSAs, creates new health insurance tax credit.
This is the good parts. And some of it is actually good. As I was trying to say in the radio show today, like, if Obamacare's an F, I think this is like a D+. Now, would you...
Can't we do better than a D+?
First, yes. That's my first point. It's like, yeah, can't we just freaking...
Can't
I mean,
we do better?
Can't we do better? I mean, I understand. Now, if you were in school, Jeff, you'd be very familiar with this scenario. You're in school, and they've told you you're going to fail. You're an F. You're an F student. You're never going to get through this school. You're not going to graduate. They've told you this, you know, probably a thousand times. Now, if they were to say,
four.
Hey, more?
Four.
Oh,
four times.
Oh, four times. Okay, yeah, because each grade. So they said, hey, you got an F. Hey, but you know what? We're feeling okay. Why don't we give you a D+? You probably take that, right?
In a heartbeat.
Right. Now, if that's the scenario, you take that. However, if the argument is, hey, Jeffy, you've got an F. You get to write whatever grade you want in this box. What would you like?
18.
Okay, not 18, but A would be the...
absolutely.
Maybe
Come
an
on.
A+.
Of course you're writing an A.
Maybe.
They're giving you a shot.
If you just don't want to... You know what? I don't feel right getting a full A+. I'll give myself an A-. I'll give myself a B+.
Yeah.
A B. You don't give yourself a D+ in that scenario. And that's where we are. And this is why it's a problem. You know, this is just a crap bill. Now let's give you the good side first, though, right? Trump loves it. A lot of people in the GOP establishment love it. This is what we kind of told you we thought would happen with Trump if we went down this road. And as Trump pointed out today, I don't know if you still have that tweet open, Jeffy, but he mentioned this is an open negotiation point, which is even more scary because that means some of the good things I'm about to tell you about might go away. But here are some of the good things. Nearly all the Obamacare taxes are repealed. It repeals a big one, the biggest one, a 3.8% Medicare payroll tax bracket. and also repeals the high medical bills tax, the medicine cabinet tax, flurry of tax increases on health savings accounts and flexible spending accounts, the medical device tax, which is a big one. It really hurts innovation, medical device tax, series of tax hikes on various health industries. One missing tax repeal is the economic substance doctrine. But that may have to do with a Byrd rule limitation on reconciliation bills. I don't even know what that one is. The individual mandate and employer mandate are retroactively repealed. So if you filed your taxes for 2016 already and you paid a penalty, you'll be able to get that money back if you did not have a health insurance. And you are no longer required to buy health insurance. Again, assuming this goes through and is signed in its current form, which is a good one. I've said many times that I think the most offensive part of Obamacare, most offensive, is the individual mandate, and this would repeal the individual mandate. So that's a good step in the right direction, and you'll be able to go back to 2016 for that. The Cadillac plan tax that actually is now they're using this as a positive. They are deferring that tax till 2025. Now, so it means that they didn't get rid of the Cadillac tax, which was the easiest tax to get rid of, the easiest. And you might say to yourself, that makes no freaking sense. Why would they do that? And that's that would be a really good argument, actually. The issue is, I think it's a strategy move by them, which is they think they can get that done at any time. And it helps that they're scoring from the CBO when this thing gets scored, which is not scored yet, by the way. So what they say is we leave this tax in, which is, if you don't remember the Cadillac tax, it's the tax on really good healthcare plans at like 40%. It's insane. It's insane. I think they figure so many Democrats hate it, chief among them the unions, that when it comes to 2025, they'll be able to get rid of this anyway. So it will never actually take effect. And it makes it look like the plan pays for itself more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total scam. But I think they think they can get rid of it.
And here's some of the five big problems with it. It retains the requirement that insurance has to cover people with pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. So that keeps the premiums high. It creates a backdoor mandate. So while there's not a legal mandate where you have to report to the IRS and be fined, your insurance goes up if you ever drop coverage.
Yeah, and it's a really
30%.
Weird, a really weird situation too. So if, let's say, I lose my job and then I get a new job in a couple months, but in that interim, in the couple months, I don't have health insurance. When I go to get health insurance, they can charge me a 30% premium on
that's
that.
That's madness.
Now, first
that's
of all,
that's madness.
It's madness because it's essentially a way to enforce the fine, or enforce the mandate.
Mm-hmm.
It's also weird because shouldn't...
Well, if you're out of work, though, there's no way you can afford health insurance.
Well, it's only when you come back and get on the plan you get the actual fine.
Right.
So,
but to avoid the fine, you would have to maintain your insurance.
Oh, right. I see
what
you're saying.
Which is impossible when you're out of work.
Right. It's always very difficult. The other part is, shouldn't healthcare... I mean, if it's a free market plan, shouldn't healthcare companies be able to charge any price they want? Isn't that what a free market is?
Yes.
So instead, they're allowed to charge a 30% surcharge on you if you drop your insurance. Okay. I don't know that that would really... I mean, because, you know, the argument was made, I think Philip Klein made it, he was on a radio show today, that if let's say you're 24 years old and you're out of work for a couple of months, wouldn't you just not get insurance at all until you're sick?
Yeah.
Because, yes, you'd go back and have to pay a 30% surcharge for a few months, but isn't that worth not paying anything for several months? I mean, you'd wind up saving money unless you got sick a month after you made this decision, basically. So there's some risk to it, but limited risk. The other part of it is, when you do this, why a 30% surcharge is essentially a way to enforce the mandate without saying it's a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it was called a mandate in the initial bill, but the mandate technically was unconstitutional. The way the ruling was written by John Roberts was, hey, you can either have insurance or pay the fine and be legal. So you don't actually have, you're not mandated to buy insurance, you're only mandated to pay the fine if you don't buy it, which I know is a weird line, but it's the same thing here. And the same thing goes into the subsidies. They're not subsidies anymore, they're tax credits. Well, I mean, you might say, as a conservative who likes tax cuts, well, I don't mind tax credits. And I can understand, there's some sense to that. Except that if you, let's say you pay $3,000 in taxes over a year, you're a Jeffy tax bracket, so you basically you're paying nothing. You pay $3,000 for the entire year, and you get a $10,000 tax credit. Well, normally what you'd say is, well, I don't pay $10,000 in taxes, so I can only get a $3,000 tax credit. Not with the way they're doing this. They're going to go to you and say, okay, you get the $3,000 tax credit, so you pay no taxes at all, and we'll just give you $7,000, a check for $7,000 to go pay for your health insurance, meaning that you essentially have a minus $7,000 tax burden for the year. That's just a check. That's just a subsidy. That's just a way to pay people to do things that you want.
And where does the money for that come from?
Comes from this.
The magic money tree?
The magic money tree.
Okay, good.
The magic money tree.
As long as we're getting it from the magic money tree, I don't care.
Gotta be from the magic money tree.
Yeah, it has to. It also creates individual health subsidies, as we're kind of outlining. It subsidizes Medicaid, and it subsidizes high-risk pools on the state level. So, I mean, there's one great thing after another.
The way it's structured, again, is so they give a bunch of cash to the states and say, you guys do what you want to do with it, right? At the end of that, the states will have built programs in which they need to tax people to pay for, okay? So the Republicans are saying, we'll give you the first few years of that cash, and at the end, you'll just have to figure it out for yourself. Well, what's going to happen at the end is that they're going to want it from the government, and it's going to become a huge campaign.
We figured it out. We want you to continue giving us money.
Exactly. And you know who's going to fold on it? The Republicans. They're folding on it when they're in power. What makes you think that when, God forbid, everything goes poorly?
Every time.
Every time.
Without fail, during my lifetime, every time they've had a golden opportunity like this, they completely blow it and turn it over to the Democrats or do something liberal or wuss out on some great option that we have that they just don't have the balls to make happen for whatever reason. Why do Democrats always have the ability? They got one of the most unpopular bills in history passed.
Mm-hmm.
How? Because they just rammed it through.
They rammed it through?
That's how.
They didn't
stop. Rammed it through.
They didn't stop.
They did exactly what Pelosi said they were going to do. They're going to pole vault. They're going to high jump. They're going to skydive. They're going to burn things down. They're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And they did.
And Pat. To revisit for just a moment our last election. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said, hey, why are you guys making these decisions? Why are you so against Donald Trump, for example, instead of Ted Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was we made a pledge on the air and said, I mean, this is part of it, but it's, you know, what I remember most. We made a pledge on the air. I'm not going for another one of these freaking Republicans, because every time we do it, this happens. Mm-hmm. Unless there's real principle behind them, unless they're a real constitutionalist, no, I'm not going to suck it up and at the last minute vote for the guy, because this will happen. And guys, this is happening. It's the exact reason we took all those stances during the campaign. Now, you might say, a D+ is better than an F. I got it. And if you can make decisions that way...
It would have been worse with Hillary. Yeah, that's not the point.
You might be able to make decisions that way. I cannot make decisions that way anymore. I refuse to choose between two heaps of crap. And again, we have some things that are not heaps of crap out of Donald Trump, to be clear. Neil Gorsuch is not a heap of crap. There's been several things that he's done that have been good. But this is huge problem.
It's a turd burger.
This is a turd burger, guys. To say that, like, for example, they greatly expanded.
Is there some bread to eat around the edges of the turd?
Yes.
Yes.
And you might not get a bite of turd you're biting the bread. I mean, so you might get a little bit of that. But, I mean, again, like, I'll give you another. You
but
want a piece of
bread? The smell is going to affect the bread.
Yes. You want a piece of bread? The HSAs, the health savings accounts, are greatly expanded.
Woo!
They should be. That's good
that's
move.
That's good, but that's
not
great.
It's not going to change your life.
Uh-uh.
But it is good. And that's the thing. You'll get a lot of these pitches from Republicans over the next, and I'm sure you'll get it from many media sources today, that all they will point out everything we just gave you as far as the positive list. And there are some things. I'm not going to deny that. But when you have the presidency, you have the Senate, and you have the House, and you give this lump of crap as a starting negotiating position, it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is embarrassing.
Don't worry about it. You know, as our president has said, don't worry about getting rid of those state lines either.
Oh, yeah, he'll do that later.
We're going to promote competition.
We'll be
in phase two and three.
Phase two and phase
rollout.
Three.
And I got to say, that's such an easy one. It's so weird for them not to do.
He also I want to be clear. He also tweeted earlier today that he's working on a new system where there will be competition in the drug industry. Pricing for the American people will come way down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, that'd be great if it's true, but I know it's not. I know it's not.
Again, this is, I mean, how many
what
times
cost
does
me $1,265 a month today will cost me more than that under his new plan.
How many times do you have to get kicked in the nuts
before you say, I don't
want to get kicked in the nuts anymore?
I honestly don't know.
I just don't like getting kicked in the nuts.
At least one more. At least one more time.
At least for a few more years. And then we can all, and by the way, if you don't care about these policies, and I know some people out there probably don't, you know, you look, it's a little bit of a bet. It's a little bit better. It's better than the other side. I don't care. Let me give you a part where you should care. The way that this is structured, Medicaid, a bunch of money goes to Medicaid in Obamacare. And that was one of the main reason anyone's covered under Obamacare essentially is a Medicaid expansion, a giant government program where the U.S. government gives 90% of the cost for Obamacare people, healthy people. They give 90% to the states so that they can pay the Medicaid bills. Okay, that's the way it's currently set up. The Republican bill lowers that to 50%. So now we're only paying 50% of the people who are healthy's bills. Is 50% better than 90% in this scenario?
Sure
it is. Is it the right thing? No. However, this money expires on January 1st, 2020. So if you love Donald Trump and you want him to get reelected, you're going to get a bunch of people getting the money sucked out of their lives, and all of a sudden they're going to have to pay for things that they didn't have to pay for before. For some reason, they delay it to the presidential election year for it to kick in, where it's going to become a huge story. It's going to be a giant push for more single-payer health care, and very well could wind up resulting in a liberal coming in, heroically riding to the rescue and coming up with single payer to solve this problem. At the very least, Donald Trump will be blamed for it, 100%. And it will, look, maybe you think it's not going to matter. Maybe you think everything's going to be so great. It's not going to be an issue. But I can promise you that the media is going to go and find every person who used to have Medicaid funded through the states that no longer gets that money, and they're going to be on every stage during that campaign. Now, maybe Trump, he's a resilient guy. He's been able to get through a lot of attacks. Maybe he can deal with that. But why structure it that way? You know, the Democrats, again, this is another example of it. The Democrats know that if they had that expire in 2022, everyone would say, oh, you're waiting till after the election. That's pathetic. And you know what they'd do? They'd make it expire in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
They just say there, you know what? I don't care. So what, you think that? And they'd get away with it. Here, for some reason, they have it expiring at the beginning of the presidential election. That's going to be a real hard thing for anyone to overcome. But maybe Trump can do it. Yeah, but Trump does solve that problem.
That's a really good point. Yeah,
yes, it does.
We haven't made that point for a few days.
No, we have not.
Yeah, but Trump. Yes, this is a turn burger.
You are correct.
Yeah, but Trump. Okay, I hadn't thought of it like that. I feel good about it now.
With all the power, this is what you get?
Yeah, but Trump.
This is, you know, your turd burger argument that has, you know what, it's a normal burger bun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
With a turd burger slider in the middle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a little bread on the outside.
Right. You can nibble around the edges.
It's better than, like, you know, just eating crap off the ground.
Not a lot. But yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think we've
Trump.
Got now supposedly we got a world class chef in the kitchen. Why can't we do better than that?
Why can't we do better than that? You're fiddling around the edges.
Unbelievable.
Why?
I don't know. But you know, it's like the air inside your home is five times as polluted as the air outside
your home.
Probably
worse.
Well, just go outside then. Well, no, that's still polluted. That's not a good option for me.
Well, it's really polluted out there.
It's less polluted than inside your home.
We've cleaned the air in this closet area. You could always go stand there. Well, I don't want to stand in the closet.
I want to be in my living room, in my kitchen, in my bedroom.
And I will say, your air quality is going to suck if you have turd burgers all over your place. Which is something you might want to clean up.
So what do I do about it?
You get the Alexa Pure Breeze.
Okay.
We've got one running in our house all the time now. It has an auto feature, which is nice, so you're not constantly running it. It turns on and off as needed. And then there's a cool indicator light that shows you when the filters are really taking stuff out of your air. It'll go from red when your air is at the worst quality, and then you see it clean it, and you get it down to the blue color. It's got a four-stage filtration process. And
I bet it doesn't have a HEPA filter, not a true HEPA filter, though.
Why are you such a skeptic?
Just because I can't believe it's that great.
It is. It has that thing. Whatever is that we keep bragging about, they've got it.
It's got the HEPA filter?
Yeah, I don't know what that
is. I love HEPA filters. Get your Alexa Pure Breeze today, $199.95, and you'll start to breathe easy. Call 888-895-7746. That's 888-895-7746. Or go online at getalexapure.com. That is getalexapure.com. Oh, this is really good news. This is really good news. You're going to like this a lot because I know I did. The TSA searches are about to get real all up in here. We're getting real, yo. Money. So, they're going to get, here's the headline. TSA searches are about to get a lot more personal and invasive.
What?
Because we all know they're not nearly personal or invasive enough right now.
Excellent.
Isn't that great? Jeffy, you're going to be hanging out there every stinking day.
Guess who's applying for a TSA job right about now?
Do you have any ticket?
And guess who's going to be flying like every day?
Don't have any plane tickets. Nope, just want to get to airside. Go ahead.
The TSA used five different methods up until now of physically searching anybody.
Right.
They've done away with that, and they're going with only the comprehensive search. And they've said, I would say people who in the past would have gotten a pat-down that wasn't involved will notice that the new pat-down is much more involved. That's according to a TSA spokesman.
Yeah.
They've also, it's going to be so personal and so invasive, they've alerted local police agencies that they're going to be getting a lot of complaints about being abused by people, being abused at airports by these people.
So weird, too, because
that's unbelievable.
They tell you every step they're going to do. In no matter what pat down they use, they go through the steps with you.
Well, I mean, but let's
that's
be honest.
Weird.
Right. I mean, but like,
I don't care if they're going through. I don't want them touching me.
I understand that, but they, you know, look.
I don't care.
That's the
I don't
deal,
want
right?
It.
It's the deal.
No, it shouldn't be the deal.
But it is.
Shouldn't be.
It is.
The Jeffy approach, you work, like, for example, you work with a Jeffy, and Jeffy's at the TSA.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is, they might be telling you they're going to do this, but you're going to take a little bit of extra joy in doing it to people. And that's what I think people don't like.
So?
Yeah, I enjoy my work. What can I say? You know, I just think that's going to be the problem.
Keep it America safe.
You know,
going to have to pat you here now.
Think about this. We get all up, our panties in a complete wad. If some transgendered person's feelings are hurt.
I know, that's for
if
sure.
If they're insensitive, if they feel uncomfortable, if they're not entirely excited and wonder-filled and awe-inspired by every movement everybody makes around them. It's a story on the freaking national news every time that happens. But if I go to the TSA and I'm patted down and they're feeling my nuts, I don't matter one iota that I'm uncomfortable with that.
Nope.
And they're touching me.
Doesn't matter.
I can't.
It's incredible. It's a good point.
I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. It has to stop. It has to stop.
If you couldn't take it, you would have pulled the trigger on TSA pre a long time ago. You obviously do. No, like it.
Right?
Okay. This is pushing me over the edge. I am now pulling the trigger on TSA pre. I'm going to make that call today. Who do I call?
Well, you go to the website.
TSA?
You go to the website.
Go to the TSA website?
Yeah, there's go search for TSA pre-check.
I'm doing it today.
What you do is you go through about a half hour of filling in paperwork.
That's what I hate.
But it's really not that bad. And it's more like past addresses and places you've worked and things like that.
But will you hate it worse?
Right.
When they're putting the rubber glove on and they're patting you with the backhand.
How much do you not like a backhand on your junk?
A lot.
If you really don't like it, then you'll get
way
TSA
more
free.
Than the paperwork, because the story will never be heterosexual Pat Gray felt uncomfortable by being felt up. at the airport. That will never be a story.
That will not be a story.
That will not be a story. They don't give a rat's ass about my feelings, about my comfort level, about my sensitivities.
We do care, but
nobody cares. We only care about transgender and homosexuals and their feelings and their comfort level. And their sensitivities.
I got to say, not even gay people. When's the last time they got any love?
I know, that's true.
It's only transgenders
right.
now.
Right, sure is.
There's too many homosexuals now, so they don't matter anymore.
They're too popular.
They've
already
got
their rights.
They're too mainstream. You guys can get married. There's nothing wrong with you.
Screw you guys. You got nothing.
It's true.
It's true. It really is. It is oddly going that way.
The forgotten people.
I go through the machine, though, most of the time, so you're good without getting the... They only pat you down a little bit.
No, They do the random pat down, though. They're like, you've been chosen. Come over here. I'm going to fill you up.
There is a random element to that. Yeah. I never get it.
Which makes absolutely zero sense. You're not going to find anybody with a random search. So you could feel up a 3-year-old girl, or you could feel up a 25-year-old Arab. And it's the same.
You decide.
And it's the same?
Right.
Okay. Shut up.
Obviously silly.
Don't even insult my intelligence with this stuff. This pisses me
even
off.
Even if they didn't do it with, you know, Arab or Muslim, if they just did it by age, it would make a little bit of sense.
Yes.
A little bit.
I mean, at least if you were like, okay, no grandmothers and no 4-year-olds.
What if you didn't worry about the way a person looks, but instead from where they're coming? Like a terrorist nation.
And
if you're coming from Yemen, you get a little more closer scrutiny than if you're coming from Billings, Montana.
And that's the effort of travel, the travel ban, right? That's what they tried to do with that. It's like say, okay, you know, we're not saying a religion, we're not saying an even age, we're just saying from these six countries.
They tried really hard, and still they got a ration of crap for it.
Yeah, and by the way, the odd thing about that is, so they had 7 countries, and it was 90 days. We're going to figure out what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the big push initially. So it gets ruled unconstitutional, or kind of, by that. By the court, they're going to go to court. Remember, I'll see you in court, and then didn't do it. Typical Donald Trump. But so that was, I don't know how many days ago that was, but the pitch was this is temporary, so we can figure out what's going on. Have they not been trying to figure it out? Why is it still 90 days and not 72 days or whatever it would be?
Why are you being so?
Shouldn't
picky?
They be reducing that as we go on? At this point. Like, what is the 90 number important for some reason?
If it were a real thing, yeah.
If it were, yeah, exactly. And,
it's
and
not
that's
a real
why
thing. It's an indefinite.
The temporary argument by many on the right is bullcrap. The guy wants it permanently. I mean, he might change the and that might be the right policy. I'm not even saying it's not.
And by the way, we already figured out what's going on. People are coming here from nations who hate us, and some of them are extremists, and they're trying to kill us.
Yeah.
We already figured that out a long time ago.
Right.
I knew that on September 12th, 2001. I guessed it then.
Wow, you're amazing. Well, you're a magician. I don't think anyone can keep up with that intellect.
This is the dumbest thing
I know.
Of all time.
It really is. And it's like, well, you know, if it takes 90 days, then shouldn't you have been working on this through these days? I mean, I understand there's a lot going on, but I mean, you can't advance it one day for every two.
No.
Like maybe it's been 20 days, you advance it. Maybe it's an 80-day ban instead of a 90.
It'd be wrong to try to advance it if it wasn't passed, right? They couldn't
No, because the screening process is what they said. We're going to do a ban, and during that, we're going to figure out what's going on with the screening process and improve it. And then we're going to need 90 days to do that. So at the end of 90 days, we can open up this transit again, and it's not going to be a big deal because we're going to have the thing figured out.
So Iraq got crossed out.
Yeah. And Iraq got crossed out, yeah. That's the big one.
Can we go back to that map? Because I hadn't seen that yet.
That's the only one. So they had the same 7, and then they took Iraq off, so it's back to
the
six.
Terrorist nation map for a sec?
The six countries. I do believe they are attempting that, Pat. That's why I'm keep talking about
it. Is it a complicated process?
Yeah, I think
it is. Okay, look, they did it! They did it! They've done it! They've done it!
Stu, you're not clapping.
So, again, yes, it's Iraq, right?
Stu, you're not clapping.
Okay, Iran, Syria, Libya, Sudan, and Yemen, and Somalia are the only ones we're
So that is the
now.
Obama list
Iraq,
minus Iraq.
Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia is not covered in this? Come on, all 18 came from Saudi Arabia. How is that not one of them?
Right.
Well, that was, yeah, I mean, and
How's
that was,
not
a,
one
that
of
was
them?
A funny argument made by liberals. In that they kept saying, like, what about Saudi Arabia? And it's like, well, I can understand that from a conservative perspective.
Yeah.
But you want more countries?
Right.
I mean, I guess he could add some. Is that what you're asking?
They're just trying to show the foolhardiness of this. And it is foolhardy. It's stupid. All of it's stupid.
Not, yeah. And
these are not good plans.
Yes. I will say this, too. I mean, every... And I made these arguments. It's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do much of anything. People are like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever been done. No, it doesn't. It limits it to 50,000 refugees per year, which is right around the average of the past, say, 8 years. It's like 60,000 the past 8 years, and he's doing 50,000. Not that big of a deal. He's limiting these 7 countries.
10,000 people whose human rights are being violated, not being allowed to come into our country, Stu.
I'm sorry.
10,000 human rights violated. And by the way, it's not a human right to come into our country.
Right.
So shut up about that.
So exactly. But these are the arguments we made, right?
This pisses me off.
Okay. So it's 7 countries. So most Muslims are going to be able to come. And,
do I seem inordinately angry today?
You do.
Because I am inordinately angry.
A little bit. But I think it's okay. The issue here, though, is if you make the argument that it doesn't really violate any of these people's, worlds. It's a delay. It's 50,000. It's only 6 countries.
And they have no right to be here in the first place.
And they have no right to be here in the first place. If you make those arguments, you also have to make the argument that it's not going to accomplish very much.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very limited, temporary ban that will do almost nothing.
Almost nothing.
Because remember, the people who would be affected by this have already gone through a 2-year process. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the people are rushing across the border and you're like, wait, hold on. These people have all gone through a screening process already. So could theoretically you catch something? Maybe, but it's not going to do much. This is absolutely Donald Trump saying, I promise I was going to do this and I'm doing it. That's it. It doesn't really affect your security. It doesn't really affect the lives of refugees all that much, especially when you remove the permanent Syrian ban, which they did in this move as well. It's really not that big of a deal on either side.
It's interesting to note as well that Trump is following through on most of his promises, almost all of them, in fact. He's doing what he said he's going to do on health care. That's not going away. It's just being made. Well, it might get a little bit better initially, but I think what he'll eventually wind up is trying to insure everybody through us, through the taxpayers, and it'll wind up being a single-payer thing. And he seems to be headed that way, because otherwise you just repeal the
thing. He did promise government would pay for everyone's health care.
Yes, he did.
And so
he's following through on that. He followed through on the travel ban. He's doing that.
And to give him credit, like, for example, on the health care thing, he said government would pay for all the health care.
Right.
And
everyone will be insured.
And the conservatives are saying, wait a minute, no, just repeal this thing, and then we'll figure out some little things we can do to help the process, but we're not going to do that. He stood up to the conservatives, and he said, you know what? I promised I was going to do this, and I will not accept a repeal. I'll only accept a repeal and replace. And what he's done here is, yes, better than Obamacare right now, but he's praising the plan, and it's essentially Obamacare Lite. And Obamacare Lite is more conservative than he promised. You could say that.
We'll see what happens in phase 2 and phase 3 that he's already promised that we didn't know about.
And the travel ban is just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't do much of anything. And so I don't know that he's lived up
to. What will affect our lives more is the TSA feel up. That'll affect you more.
You're going to be cupped.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You're going to be cupped at the airport.
Uh-huh.
Is that a bad thing?
You're going to be groped.
You know what? It's not a bad thing for everybody. It's not a bad thing for
Jeffy. Jeffy loves it. Jeffy, look at him over there beaming. He's beaming. Look at it. He's planning his next trip to DFW right now.
I will say.
He's going to Love Field or DFW today. You know he is.
He usually has to pay for it, and now he's getting it for free.
Man, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, Jeffy.
Well, I don't know about greatest, but
it's a top 10. Right. It's a top 10.
It's an exciting moment.
I know your life and your history. It's a top 10.
All right. 888-727 Beck. You know, there are problems all over the place, and sometimes in places where you don't expect it. Like your stupid phone company. Who would guess that when you pay your phone bill, your company turns around and uses a lot of your money to donate to really liberal causes.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is just PR, where they want to look like, oh, we're helping people. And it's,
others,
you know,
goes right to, like, these mayors against gun rights.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a big one.
That's agonizing.
Mm-hmm. Patriot Mobile solves this problem for you. If you're giving your money to these companies that are dishing it out to liberal charities and liberal organizations, Patriot Mobile does the opposite. They offer all the same great service, nationwide talk and text with high-speed 4G LTE data at great prices. And they're going to donate up to 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization of your choice.
We really love these guys. Patriot Mobile. They'll even buy out your current contract with credits up to $500. That's going to take care of it. And, yeah, you can keep your phone number and get great nationwide coverage, all while supporting conservative values that you believe in.
Yeah, and if you call now, Patriot Mobile is going to waive the $35 activation fee if you use the promo code Pat and Stu, Remember to use the promo code PATENSTEW or you're not going to get this deal. Go to patriotmobile.com/PATENSTEW or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT, 1-800-A-PATRIOT, or patriotmobile.com/PATENSTEW. Welcome back.
888-727-BACK. We are excited to be joined by our old friend Billy Hallowell, who used to work here at the Blaze, and then he turned traitor on us and he left. I don't know what it is we did to him to deserve that. Do you know, Stu?
I don't.
I'm not really sure what his deal was, but
I hope we can get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
So.
I'd like to. And he's written a book now. I don't know why we're talking about it because he's a traitor. It's called Fault Line: How a Seismic Shift in Culture is Destroying America and Shaping the Next Generation. Billy, that's too long a title to start with. Let's get that out of the way.
It's just
way too long a title. Did it even fit on the cover?
Yeah, it did. It
did
barely
it?
Made it.
Wow.
It barely made it, but it's there.
Okay.
That is the thing you do with books now, is it's like two words and then 14 sentences as the subtitle. It's
an insane subtitle that you can't even remember.
Look, it's behind us here, and look how teeny that all had to be to fit. No wonder.
However, while it is teeny, it makes a great point. A seismic shift in culture threatening free speech and shaping the next generation.
And, that's really good.
And diving into really some scary things that are going on with our culture, and particularly how it relates to people of faith. I was talking about this on the radio show today, Billy, and this statistic blows my mind. Let me give this to you here. In 2011, only 30% of evangelicals felt elected officials who committed immoral acts could fulfill public duties. In 2016, that number, 72%. From 30 to 72%.
In 5 years?
In 5 years.
You believe that?
I mean, you know, I feel like...
That's a seismic shift.
And this is a big focus of your book, is that the foundations of who we're supposed to be as people of faith wind up being overwhelmed by the culture and the moment.
Mm. Yeah, no, look, I mean, how do they not become overwhelmed, right? We've got Hollywood, we've got media, we've got universities, and those three have increasingly been dominating culture. Look, we've got smartphones, we've got iPads, we're on our computers. We are inundated. If you go to church every week, if you take your kids to church every week, that's great. That's what we should be doing. But how do you counteract that one time or two times a week that you're at church? Or, you know, for conservatives even, how do you maintain those values, even for those who might not be particularly religious, let's say, or Christian for that matter? How do you maintain those values when you're just inundated with these insane messages coming from across the board? And look, you see this in public polling. You go to the Gallup poll. Last year, it was really startling. Divorce, you know, like moral acceptability of divorce, over 70% of the country saying it's morally acceptable to be divorced. It's just, you know, you go down the line and really values are completely being eroded. And I think it's fascinating when we talk, obviously, for about 1,000 reasons, the Donald Trump factor that has changed so much for evangelicals with that particular statistic.
Clearly.
It should be troubling still, though, that many evangelicals suddenly practically tripling and saying, oh, no, this is okay now. We don't have to have a moral individual in this role.
Yeah, and when we made the point that we kind of do, we were called puritanical. We were called holier than thou. We were called names. We were told to shut up. We were asked to just play along. Why can't you just do it? I mean, it was vicious from evangelicals. A number of the people that were responding to us were evangelicals.
Oh, yeah. And look, I think you had two bad candidates. We all know that, right?
Yes.
And so what was shocking to me were the people who were so passionate, right, about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be, when we're talking about these factors and when we talk about culture, my focus in Fault Line is sort of like, okay, Hollywood's crazy, the media's crazy, universities are crazy, and they're dominating this discussion. At some point, that trickles down to everybody, evangelicals included, right?
Yeah, yes.
So
And
it has. And I think we've really got to explore this. You look at issues like gay marriage. You go down the line. Some of these issues are complicated. There's the legal versus the moral implications. But all of that is meshing together because we're being sold one side in all of those areas. And the reason I chose those areas is because that's where we learn. Like, if you're not going to church, you're learning from Hollywood. You're learning from the media. And you're learning from either public schools or at some point universities. And so for me, I'm 33 now. I sort of went through this over the last 15 years, and I've been increasingly worried, especially the last 5 years, looking at, okay, where is culture changing? And as somebody who's on the upper end of the millennial scale, What is wrong with millennials? How are we going to take the future on when we're not even aware that other ideas exist because they're not being presented to us?
Yeah, and the real problem here, and you touch on this a lot in the book, is it's the immersion factor. I mean, it's everywhere all the time. You're being beaten down with the idea that whatever you believe is wrong and you should dismiss it. I mean, you think about if you go to public school, you're in a place where religion can't even be mentioned under any circumstances. Even secularized holidays that relate to religion are tough to celebrate. You go through, every piece of media is going to tell you that. You watch sports and the people like Tim Tebow who have that connection to faith are mocked and belittled for it. And then you go to college and, I mean, it's even more out the door. How does anyone come out of this machine that has been built with any connection to faith?
Well, they're not coming. I mean, this is the problem, right? You look at the polls, you see, okay, we've got one out of five Americans polling as nun, you know, not like Catholic nuns, but people who aren't Christians. They're not connected to faith.
Four out of five of us were nuns. I'd be a little concerned about that trend too. That would be a little weird.
Yeah, but when it comes to millennials, that number is like 33% that are not affiliated with any faith at all. It's very disturbing. And I think, look, I love this term that I've sort of come up with, and I'm acting like I'm smart here, and I'm not, but progressive privilege. You know, this is what these people are living in. Liberals have sort of lived in, when it comes to media, when it comes to Hollywood and universities, they've had progressive privilege. And we love to talk about privilege in every other sense. But when it comes to ideology, for some reason, we don't want to talk about it. There's a real problem here, especially, and you guys know this, in the media, in what they're presenting. Yeah. And all of this creates a free speech problem as well, which the book talks about.
Yeah.
Because we're not seeing both sides. We're not presenting both sides.
Yeah, and you're shouted down in the universities. Conservative thought isn't allowed at the universities. And we had a story that we did on radio today from the local DFW area. There was a TV station that went out and did a story because a transgendered person was upset that a teacher said he shouldn't go into the girls' bathroom because he's a boy. And so he felt that was an insensitive comment. That's an actual story. Now, why is it? How do we get to this place where we've gone from where, you know, they were considered, but they weren't solely considered, to a place where our feelings don't matter at all, but theirs are paramount? How do we combat that?
We have allowed secularism to sort of take over. And I think because we've become obsessed with political correctness, and I think even talking about political correctness, it feels sort of like, okay, you hear that term and it's so overused, but it's so true. I mean, we have created a climate that bizarrely sort of works against the majority of what people believe, which is not the way that it should be. And look, the other problem here, and so Fault Line kind of is a little convicting, I think, for conservatives and Christians, because both groups have very similar complaints. But we also have retreated, a lot of us. You know, we've sort of said, okay, it's hard to get into Hollywood, it's hard to get into media, it's hard to get into universities, so we're just going to sort of go over here and do our own thing, or we're just going to retreat totally. That's not a healthy thing either. So we've got to sort of dive back in and figure out, even though it's tough, how can we engage culture? How can we make good entertainment? How can we do all of these things that need to be done to have a presence? Because right now, by retreating, we're actually doing a disservice to people. We're not contributing to helping them see both sides. And again, it's hard, but we got to do it.
The book is called Fault Line, How a Seismic Shift in Culture is Destroying America and Shaping the Next Generation. It's out today, so go get it. Thanks so much, Billy Hollowell. Thanks for coming on the
program.
Thanks
for having me.
All right, back in a second.
Or maybe just a tad more.
Well, yeah, maybe probably as long as the commercials last, I would say.
Exactly.
Probably be the time.
They usually last somewhat more than a second.
Some stories that Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
Welcome to the Pat and Stu Show. We were just talking earlier about the immigration process and losing the country Iraq and what countries we're on and how come they haven't done this and haven't done that. But one of the things that was so important to some of our senators, especially Senator Schumer, who is...
Adult.
Just a great guy.
Oh, that's not where I was going.
Oh, no? He helped an athlete overcome Trump's travel ban. That was so special, and it was so nice of him to do that. And he went out of his way to help an Indian snowshoe athlete in
Yeah, there's no sport I like better than snowshoe
you
walking.
Really?
Oh, man. I mean, when they start walking in snowshoes.
Not even football or
here's the thing.
Basketball, baseball.
No, we're not.
They walk in snow.
Right.
They're not walking on regular ground.
Right?
They're not walking on pavement.
Thank you.
They're walking in snow.
Now, we're not sure why.
Specialized shoes.
Right. I mean, that's what I figured it was.
It's fantastic.
Like, why is it so exciting?
Like, oh, my gosh. You have to, I can't even describe it. You have to see it.
Once you see those guys with the, it's, Pat's right, the special snowshoe.
The tennis racket shoes? Is that
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm really
those
glad.
Those are the old school ones.
So we're all happy, I guess, that Schumer got in here.
Oh, and they don't even know why he was, what the detained was.
Because India's not one of the nations.
And so they, I mean, they treated him like, in this town in New York, they treated him like a king. They have parades, everything. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that now he's charged with a sex crime against a child.
Yeah, he molested a 12-year-old girl.
That's all.
What?
That's all.
What?
That's all. No.
That we've got like Americans that do that, too. That's, I mean, that'll be the excuse.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Americans, yeah, but wouldn't
did you know that Americans molest 12-year-olds at a higher rate than...
Well, why would we add to that?
I know, even if that's true.
Right.
Let's assume
it's true.
Why add to it?
Why would we add to it exactly? Yeah. What's the argument there?
Well, we want to have a little bit of extra outside molestation. we just don't want it all inside. Then 100% of it would be Americans. You want that stat on your back?
Now, to be fair, it is America. You're innocent until proven guilty. And he's maintaining his innocence.
Oh, he does say he didn't do it?
He maintains his innocence. And he's still in jail, actually, according to this story, with on $10,000 bond. I'm surprised Chucky didn't put it up for him.
Yeah, really. I was fascinated, though, by the response of the Indian snowshoe team member captain person that's here. They said, hey, look, we're completely confident in the American justice system.
Yeah.
We're going to let it play out.
Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome.
That was really good.
I thought that was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Now, and also, just as we wrap up this hour, I'd like to remind the producers and everyone affiliated with this show that today is National Pancake Day.
Oh, well, then.
I hate to be, I hate to be the one to remind everyone about these national food days.
For spoons, obviously, then it's pancakes, right?
I have free pancakes today.
Rich, creamy butter and delicious
syrup.
Real natural maple syrup.
National Pancake Day.
It's not pancakes, but it's something I really want to have. I really want to eat It's not pancakes. We'll have pancakes in another segment, not for spoons, I assume.
Oh, okay. I assume. Well, that's better.
It is Pat and Stu.
Hi.
888-727-BECK.
One thing we didn't mention about the healthcare thing, which is important, it does appear that the Planned Parenthood funding goes away with this healthcare bill.
Oh, that is really good.
Yeah. Now, Trump has offered funding to Planned Parenthood if they stop doing abortions, which is completely fine with me.
I'm fine with that.
They're not going to.
Whole deal.
And that's,
I mean, as much as they scream and yell about women's health care, pre-cancerous screenings, mammograms, we check their kidneys, we look for stones. Shut up. The only thing they care about is performing abortions. That's all they care about. So would they drop abortions to get the funding? No way.
No.
No way. And there's no reason we should be funding this privately owned company. What the hell are we doing? Why are we doing it? First of all, not only is it immoral to be funding the death of babies. Secondly, it's un-American that we're funding this agency, this organization that should be getting private funds from wherever they can. I don't care where they get them. Just don't get them from me. I don't want to fund your operation. I mean, you've got people who believe in it strongly, like Emma Watson, who played Hermione or however you say it on Harry Potter, and she's in Beauty and the Beast. And now she's saying, she was on the street and somebody was asking her about donating something, and she said, give it to Planned Parenthood, they're the best. Let her fund it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you fund it. If you love it, if you believe in it, you fund it. Find the people who believe in you and raise money from them.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it's all about this. The debate as far as Planned Parenthood is just is whether the government is going to cut them a check. It's not about whether they're going to stay open or closed. It should be about whether they stay open or closed, but it's not. It's about whether the government should fund him. The number one, it should never have been funded in the first place. Number two, it should immediately stop with Republicans in control. And it looks like that might happen. I will say, you know, because their defense is always, well, we don't spend any of that money on abortions. It's like, well, I think it was Leon Wolf who tweeted yesterday. Well, if I have $20, it's enough money for food or for heroin. Give me another $20 and I'll buy both. Well, I guess technically he used your money to buy the food. But that does that make you feel any better? Now he's bought heroin. Now this is actually be a better Jeffy scenario. Than poor
Can
Leon.
We get a close-up of what's behind us here?
No, come on.
Just take a look at that. I want to show you the face of the defund Planned Parenthood effort.
I mean, what's wrong with it?
Sure, she's great, but I mean, it's not the greatest picture in the world.
That was taken by a left-wing source. You know that.
Yes.
And they're trying to say that, okay, only ancient people
ancient,
want...
Ancient, though. That's a meth lab. That's a meth lab gone bad right there. It's...
You think?
You're going to make this argument? Really? With you on screen, you want to make that argument?
None of us should be making this argument at all.
There's no question. No question that none of us should, but as long as we are.
All right. 888-727-BECK. Now, Facebook's artificial intelligence can apparently identify suicidal behavior. They've been having a problem with this because people have been Facebook living their suicides, and that's just horrific. And I think Facebook would like to stop that, and I don't blame them. So they claim that this will alert them to somebody who may be suicidal, and I guess they'd send help. The ever-scaling operation frequently pushes out new features to keep users interested. And right now, of course, it's Facebook Live, and we all love it. And it's a service that lets you broadcast real time. We love it so much that we haven't done ours in a while, have we?
Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook Live.
We have not done that in a while. I did go to Pat Gray's Facebook page just the other day.
Yeah?
And I was interested to say, and Pat had just posted something.
I had posted something for the first time in 2 months.
Yes, and so I decided to scroll back. Which I saw was Pat Gray on March 5th posted something. Then on January 6th had posted something. The best part about the January 6th one was, I'm going to start posting a lot more frequently.
It was my New Year's resolution or something. No,
you didn't.
Because the feedback I got from that was all the Trump crap. And I was just so done with it at that point. I'm like, I'm not even going to, no. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It just feels like a waste of time sometimes.
But. Yeah, but now I'm trying again. And so maybe there'll be a new post here soon. Yes.
There you go.
Nice.
I actually Facebooked about what was it? It was something involving BYU, right? Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember which one it was.
I've forgotten too. Oh, I know what it was. BYU played Gonzaga in basketball. And a lot of the Gonzaga fans dressed up to mock Mormons.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
Dressed up as missionaries, which is actually kind of funny. And if you want to dress that uncomfortably and watch a basketball game, knock yourself out. But also they were screaming epitaphs and polygamy and anti-Mormon stuff and all of this. So one of the Gonzaga students that was ashamed of that wrote this great letter to the editor in the Gonzaga paper. And so I posted that.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
By the way,
because they said, when we go to Provo, do they dress up as 15th century priests that are about to do witch trials? No. Mm-mm. Do they dress up as popes and mock us? No. And he was right. And I thought that was
Joseph great. Harshbarger.
Joseph Harshbarger. Thank you, Joseph. It was a really well... Reason
that's interesting because you brought up a really big win for BYU over Gonzaga when that happened. You brought up this great op-ed. I didn't get any update of what happened.
That's why this season has been so crappy. They beat the number one previously unbeaten team in the nation last week. Last night, they lose to St. Mary's by 31.
By 31. Wow.
30.
I knew they lost.
81 to 50. God, come on.
So strange.
It's because they're so young. They're just, I mean, if anything goes wrong in the game, they don't respond well sometimes, and they certainly didn't there. Okay, so if you're Facebooking live, please don't commit suicide. It's just not, if you're not Facebooking live, don't commit suicide.
Well, yeah, don't do it either way. But I will say that's a tough trend. How do you stop it? Because it's a live broadcast.
I don't know. I guess you could send help to somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
try at least.
You could try.
Jeffy, we should do this where Jeffy does a Facebook Live, starts to commit suicide, and we'll wait for them to come. And if it doesn't, I mean, if they're too late, we will rip them on the air the next day. You guys didn't save Jeffy from the suicide.
Well, we may not on the air, but we might write a strongly worded letter.
We won't, but...
it's possible. Someone
probably
could.
Not, though. You know, I mean, it's, I'm pretty not. Busy.
I mean, if I were to do that, though, I mean, I'd be...
Yeah, but think of the point you'll prove. You'll put it in Facebook's face. They will be like, oh man, he burned us. You know, we didn't stop the suicide.
So awful. That's awful. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you like this traumatic memory thing? Science could erase bad memories?
This is Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. That's the premise of that movie. With Jim Carrey and what's her face, Kate Winslet.
I get that one mixed up all the time with Majestic because he did those two kind of around the same time period.
Right. Yeah,
and I'm always thinking, is that because I've seen Majestic, I haven't seen Eternal.
It's a very strange
Sunshine.
Movie. If you don't like artsy kind of weird movies, you might not like it. But I really liked it. It was very very weird, but well done. And Jim Carrey.
Normally,
I
don't
really
like
good.
Weird movies.
Yeah,
the only weird movie I think I've ever liked. That I can remember is that thing that Glenn loves so much, the musical.
Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. For some reason, I liked it. For some reason,
you
I
jump
liked
into
it.
The strangest wells.
I know. I know.
I expect Glenn to like Moulin Rouge. That is good. I expect Glenn to like La La Land. And I'm like, I'm bashing La La Land. We get off the air and Pat's like, by the way, La La Land was very good.
I'm
a man of varied taste. Okay?
Yes, I will admit.
I didn't expect the La La Land, though.
I'm diverse. I'm inclusive.
I did not
expect the La La Land either.
I will not.
You caught most of us off the train right there.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, La La Land was really good.
Yeah, I know. You liked it.
It seemed to stun the room.
And that was her, too. That was Emma Watson, too, right? Wasn't that her?
No, that was Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. I get those two confused.
They're both super liberal, too.
Yes. Of course. Because she wore a Planned Parenthood pin. At the Oscars, if I remember
Emma Stone?
Right. Emma Stone did.
Jeez. I mean, there's no getting away from this stuff.
No, there's not.
I don't get
there's
it.
There's not.
So, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or whatever that is.
That is a fictional movie.
But they erased his memory?
Right. So, you have spots, bad memories, right? Mm-hmm. And then they will remove those, and you'll have Eternal Sunshine.
Okay, I see.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Nice.
All right.
But it's a great... I actually really like the movie a lot. It's very weird, but I really like it because it's one of those movies that just the editing and all that crazy crap that happens that if you're... You know, it happens in radio, I think, a lot. And we do TV, obviously, as well as you wouldn't necessarily think by looking at this show that we care about visual elements. you know, like, we're in that world a little bit. And so it's really impressive on that front.
Try
but
to
it's
do
all,
yourself.
It's also... It's a good movie. It's a little disturbing, but good.
Mm. It also seems this is kind of disturbing. They've done this apparently. They tried to take away traumatic memories from fish. How do you know they're traumatic memories to the fish?
Right.
Have you talked to them about it?
If you find a fish with a hook going through its mouth, I'm pretty sure that's
might
a
be
traumatic memory.
Yeah. So in the study, they gave fish drugs that prevented the proteins that caused these long-term memories from being made, and. From there, they discovered that they could actually target the long-term memories and delete them. Is that incredible? I mean...
How?
First of all, I'm surprised PETA is allowing this to happen to fish.
It seems
kind of mean to the fish. What if they want those long-term memories?
So it's okay to put a hook in their mouth. It's just not okay to erase the memory of the hook in the
exactly.
mouth?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, because then you're presumably going to eat it.
Well, yes, it's probably not going to
And then it's benefiting us.
At that point.
Fish going to taste better not remembering the traumatic memory?
I don't know.
So. I don't think that's the pitch.
I don't know, but this is fascinating. I didn't know they could do this already, and apparently they're experimenting on it with animals.
That is bizarre.
Yeah,
bizarre.
Really weird. Also, a woman is throwing through some stones before using a gun to get rid of a noisy neighbor's drone.
wow.
Here's a look at what happened there. She seems to be... Okay, so there's obviously no sound to this. She's picking up rocks.
There you go.
I would be pissed off.
Throwing them at the drone.
Yeah, you should, right?
You should, right? I mean, that's funny.
Badly missing the drone. Looks like a pretty nice house and a decent neighborhood.
Yeah, no kidding.
So now she's maybe going in there to get the gun, I hope, because I want to see this
How
happen.
Is this legal?
I don't
it's
know.
Not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Drone flyer realizes gun.
Yeah, I kind of don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
It looks like he's kind of peeping on her, and that's creepy for one thing.
I mean, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's obviously illegal to do that to someone's house. However, it would also be illegal to fire a gun at it because bullets wind up traveling a distance and can hit somebody else.
That's why it's so bad when they catch you like that.
Is this your video, Jeffy?
I mean, when they... Oh.
Yeah. I would not be surprised. Here's at Russia, 24 hours. They did something pretty impressive. Let's watch this. This is actually trying to make a house with a 3D printer. Check it out.
With the advent of Appy's Core technology, construction 3D printing opens a new round of evolution.
Glenn would
thanks
love this.
To the innovative design of the printer. Appy's Core technology consists of a mobile construction 3D printer and automatic mix and supply unit, which combine to make the construction printing process as much automated as possible and almost eliminate the human factor. This equipment is unique and has no analogs in the world today. Appy's Core is compact dimensions,
high printing speed,
ease of transport, and maximum automation of the system.
Is this real?
Commissioning on site takes no more than an hour. With so many advantages, the 3D printing technology easily accounted for competition with traditional methods of construction. The testing was successful, and the technology is ready for mass use.
That is incredible.
Oh, I mean, wow.
This is goes right into what Glenn has been talking about with all these jobs going away.
Wow.
That destroys the home construction industry.
Can
By
you
the way,
imagine how many hundreds of thousands.
Look, it's still a good thing, right? I mean, if you could build a house that costs you $30,000
in 24 hours.
But I mean, think about what it would do to home values. I mean, if a house, you could buy a house at $700,000 in some really nice neighborhood, and then next door they're building one for $18,000. I mean, can you imagine?
That is unbelievable.
Let's watch the rest. This is they're actually putting the house together. Let's check it out.
That is crazy.
Appy's Core construction 3D printing technology adapted for different methods of printed walls thermal insulation. This project used loose dry insulating material on one part of the house and polyurethane filler composition on the other. Technology does not require fixtures and fills all voids in the space between the bearing wall and the outer concrete structure.
Wow.
Avoids the formation of cold bridges. On the inside, the printed house is no different from a regular concrete house. It is also comfortable and reliable. The house interior includes a hall, a bathroom, a living room, and a compact functional kitchen with the most modern appliances. The house size is 38 square meters. Construction costs
$10,134,
which corresponds to approximately $275 per square meter.
And how much is that in American?
In view of the shape complexity of the building, prices include all works and materials for the construction of foundation,
for $10,000,
exterior and interior finishing works, installation of heat insulation of walls, windows, floors, and ceilings. A regular square house made using materials of an average price category would cost about $223 per square meter. The use of Appy's Core Construction 3D printer allows to save up to 70% on erecting buildings boxes compared to traditional material and labor-intensive construction methods.
That is amazing. I mean, the house, it's not the Taj Mahal, right?
No, it's a small example house they just built for 10 grand.
Yeah.
Again, that's before they scale this stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just like they've got this unit and they're just building it. I mean, once this starts making money, I mean, you could probably do it even cheaper.
You could build a $100,000 house for $300,000. I mean, a million dollar house.
For $100,000.
For $300,000. Yeah.
30%.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
That's pretty staggering.
And so, it's obviously a small example house, but I mean, you could scale that up pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
you could probably have a big house done in a week if you can do that in a day.
Jeez.
Right?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, think about that, Jeffy. Maybe you won't be homeless anymore.
Forever.
You know, forever. I mean, probably will.
Yeah, never mind.
That was a bad example.
I mean, that house that they showed there, that thing is awful big comparative to what I got now. I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, when did you get all that?
Yeah, plus $10,000. I mean, please. You can't even begin to comprehend.
If you could save for 10,000 lifetimes, perhaps. You know.
Could you save a dollar per lifetime, do you think? I don't know. That's a lot to ask of you. Here's what you maybe could do, though. And that's take a positive step toward self-reliance, Jeffy. I know that's a weird concept for you. But for others, you know, they try to protect themselves and their families. And they want to be ready, come what may, whether it's weather disaster or something else.
The way his family can protect himself is to get away from him. And then secondarily, to get something from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the place, we trust these guys. They've taken a long time to make sure that all the food that you get with your emergency food kits are good food. It tastes good. It's easy to prepare, and it lasts up to 25 years.
I can't tell you how many times when we were working on our food preparation for years of it, when we first got married.
You'll eat anything if you're hungry enough.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't need to now, so it's really nice.
You don't want to.
You don't have to buy a bucket of rice and then try to figure out what to do with it later. You can get 4 weeks of really delicious, easy-to-prepare food where you add water, and it's $99 for a four-week supply.
And just to clarify, Pat and I aren't married to each other. He was talking about his wife, Jackie.
That's correct.
That's just in case. You just tuned in. 888-411-5290 is the number. 888-411-5290. Preparewiththeblaze.com. Again, it's $99 for 4 weeks of food. Just think about that. If you could you feed yourself for an entire month for $99, I mean, it's a great deal, whether it's emergency food or not.
Kidding.
This is the best emergency food you're going to find on the market, and it's preparewiththeblaze.com. Go there now.
Even they have pancakes on National Pancake
Day. Well. Well. You know, I've taken a strong stance against soda taxes.
You really have. Yeah, you have.
But never before did I realize how important my stance was. In that we now know that soda taxes are racist.
That's why I've been opposed to them the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
so I'm not.
I knew. I knew from the beginning.
Really? They were racist.
Are you kidding me?
That is the argument made, oddly, by the Seattle Times. Argument goes like this. Blacks and Hispanics consume more sugary beverages than whites and Asians, while whites and Asians drink more diet beverages than blacks and Hispanics. Because the tax does not apply to diet beverages, it is racist. Again, they just want taxes on everything.
Is that true in Philadelphia?
It is in Philadelphia. It's not true everywhere.
I thought the diet was included. But
diet might be included in Philly, but not in most places. I know the proposal of Bloomberg back in the day did not include diet beverages. But I don't care. I mean, it's horrible whether, you know, because I'm a diet soda guy, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it does not matter. It should not be something that's taxed, whether it's diet, whether it's sugary.
Right.
You know, it's just ridiculous. Supporting data provided by the Seattle Times indicates that it is true that blacks and Hispanics drink more sugary beverages. When it comes to diet beverages, the four ethnic groups were roughly equal. So really no difference there. I think just it's pathetic. Pathetic. The article says many researchers now say that drinking diet soda does not help with weight loss. Of course, that's not actually true. Consuming fewer calories is necessary to lose weight. So, yes, diet soda can help people lose weight. Mr. Balk is wrong again when he writes this. His name is Mr. Balk. There are more questions regarding the long-term effects of consuming these artificial sweeteners. No, they're not. No, they're not. And we've covered that many times. How about this? This is Coca-Cola.
Are you
had.
Forgetting Rumsfeld Plague?
I am forgetting Rumsfeld Plague intentionally.
I thought you were.
I'm a neocon.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously.
I know. Thank you.
Here is Coca-Cola's new ad. This is getting a lot of reaction on social media. You tell me what
is
you think.
Is it supposed to be sexy or something? Is that what the...
Come prima, più di prima, t'amerò. Per la vita, la mia vita, ti darò.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Of course. it's kind of fun.
It's called domestic abuse, is what you're saying there.
Uh-huh.
Domestic abuse.
Brother and sister fight that one? Somebody else will already be there.
He brought his own.
Oh, no, she brought it. Mommy. The mom actually, oh my heck. That is unbelievable.
I saw that coming a mile. Oh my gosh, that is. Is it necessary? I guess it is, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's necessary to make everything about homosexuality. It's got to permeate everything.
Did you notice no transgendered appearances there at all, which I think
is wrong. Gosh. Thank you for, unless the girl is really a guy. We don't know for sure.
That's a good point. We did not investigate that. I'm surprised because it's funny because that is really, you know, A, is it a story? No. Right? I mean,
it's fun.
The fact that there's social media reaction to something just means it exists.
Right.
And that is not a standard for a story. It's the same thing you were talking about with the transgendered story. It's like, mm-hmm. a transgendered person reacted negatively to an element of their lives. Well, that's not a story.
It's really not a story. Not.
It's also not a story when I react to something
but
negative
Stu,
in my life.
Someone tweeted about it.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. God. I every time I hear that phrase, there's one particular broadcast that I won't mention. One person tweeted, blah, 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 blah. Another person tweeted, blah, 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 blah. So what? All things have been tweeted. That is not a news story.
What's the broadcast that does that?
I'm not going to tell
you. Come on. What was the particular broadcast you're talking about? Share it with
you. You know what? It's called the Jeff Fisher Show.
I saw that.
Liar.
And you know what? People tweet about it all the time, and they tweet about that it's the most listened to weekly broadcast on the Blaze Radio.
No one's ever tweeted it. No one's ever told
you. That's not true.
You will fix that problem by the end of the day.
That is not true because I already have.
By the way, we were talking about local news not understanding stories. This is a very typical program, and I will a problem with local news. And the first person I've ever seen pointed out was Conan O'Brien. And Conan did multiple great montages of local news repeating the exact same joke the exact same way. And one of them was, I scream, you scream, we all scream for... And then it was something else. It wasn't ice cream. I can't remember what it was. And they do that where they'll say it the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Then another one I saw yesterday that Conan did was.
And a lot of them went, ice cream, you scream. Well, you
get know
the
rest.
Point.
That's what it was. You know the rest.
Yeah.
And that was because I guess it was in some syndicated script that went to all the local news stations. Yeah. This last one I watched last night from Conan was really funny. It was, oh God, I had it. Now I've lost it. Crap. Anyway, a little Rick Perry moment for you there. But this one is I had this because I heard it on multiple broadcasts, including the one I was just mentioning that tweets talks about tweeting all the time.
Okay.
And is not included in
the
this particular
Jeff Fisher
montage.
Show on the Blaze Radio Network.
No, it was "Hasta la vista, baby" to describe what's his face Schwarzenegger leaving The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Just such an obvious joke. You knew they'd all try it, and we found it. Watch.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger has one thing to say to The Apprentice television show and President Trump.
Hasta la vista, baby.
So bad.
Yep, he's quitting.
Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, Dan?
Come on. Hasta
la vida. Live in la vida loca,
you
baby.
You mix those two.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, he's saying that to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying hasta la vista to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is saying hasta la vista to NBC's Celebrity Apprentice.
Arnold says hasta la vista, baby, to The Apprentice after only one season.
Let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger because he has said... Hasta la vista to the new Celebrity Apprentice here on NBC.
I get the little chuckle at the end. It's so good.
By the way, the Conan O'Brien one. Are you going to buy yourself a Christmas present or one or two or 10?
Oh, yeah.
And they all do it. And they he's got like 30 of them who do it. This one I think is just a crappy joke they're all repeating. I don't think it's part of a syndicated news thing, but... when he comes back for season two of The Apprentice, and they're like, oh, he's going to come back? Oh, my gosh. I heard when he left, he said, I'll be back. we'll pull that one for you when that happens. Oh,
just apparently, agonizing. Arnold isn't fired after all.
it's really funny, too, that some of them don't even, I mean, it's in the teleprompter, and they don't know how to pronounce hasta la vista, and they say hasta.
Right, because that's how
Arnold
written.
Schwarzenegger is saying hasta la vista, baby, to the Celebrity Apprentice. Well, and that makes it so much better.
So much worse.
it's just it's funny so good.
Because they, you know, you got to believe that half of the anchors are too young to even know what the catchphrase is. They're just repeating, you know, just reading it. I mean, straight out, have no idea why they're even saying it. So
that's
saying,
probably true.
Yeah. It's your brand. There's one other story I wanted to bring up before we go to break here, and we have spoons on the other side. This is a great example of what happens with stupid government. And here's something that Donald Trump could solve probably in 5 minutes. This is University of California, Berkeley. They had an online library that had more than 20,000 videos of lectures that was available to everyone. Cal Berkeley, you know, high-priced school, 20,000. They decided, you know, let's make them available so people could just watch the lectures and learn on their own. Great idea. Great thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is great because Berkeley basically ushered in this era that is going to screw them here. But the federal government left them no other choice than to delete all of them. Why? Two employees of a university for the School of the Deaf in Washington, D.C. filed a complaint with the Department of Justice alleging that Berkeley's online content was inaccessible to the hearing disabled community.
Oh, my gosh.
After looking into the matter, the DOJ determined that Berkeley had indeed violated the Americans with Disabilities Act. Berkeley had two choices: spend a fortune adding closed captioning to the videos or remove them from public view.
Come on now.
They decided to remove them, so they are deleting 20,000 lectures from Cal Berkeley that were available to everyone for free and now are not.
That is absolutely agonizing.
Great. So we should bring that back for radio tomorrow, too.
Yes. What a world.
Unbelievable.
More patents, too, coming up.
You're right. They brought it on themselves.
And food, we have something new from Cheetos, but not the cheesy delight that you'd normally be thinking.
And pancakes.
And pancakes. Right.
And pancakes. Pancakes.
Welcome back.
It's a fabulous day.
888-727-BECK is our phone number.
Look at this. Have we had these before?
We have had Cheetos Sweetos before.
Okay.
Cheetos Sweetos are a delicious product made by the fine folks at Cheetos. And they made these cinnamon sugar puffs that we had last year, I believe, which was one of our favorite things in this general vicinity.
I think we ate the whole bag.
We ate the whole bag. And I will say, this is one of those, and you know, because we try so much junk food here, I don't necessarily always dive back in and buy the stuff for my house. Because, you know, we're always kind of constantly buying them here. These I've purchased multiple times.
Oh, have you?
For my house.
Oh,
when they come out. Because they're not all the time. I think they come on and off the market. So we have the cinnamon sugar ones, which we've purchased again. We've already tried, and we will try them again. However, they have a new flavor here, and it's this kind.
Oh, yeah.
Ta-da. Ta-da-da-da. It's a superhero moment. Caramel puffs.
They smell good, too.
They smell like caramel like crazy.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my God,
you want to dump some out here, and we'll just grab?
Now, I'm a big fan of these. Anyway.
They definitely smell caramely.
Wow.
Oh.
Very puffy.
They're good. Yeah, they are puffy.
They're light and puffy and caramely.
They're very, I mean, there's a very hard hit when you first bite in, which is almost salty, a salty caramel. I'm going to the puff. I will say, if I close my eyes, I could almost think of these as normal Cheetos. They're almost like cheesy tasting.
I like them.
I do too. They're good. It would
like
almost
them.
Impossible to open a bag of those and
just have one or two.
Now I'll say,
you'd be eating them all day.
I'm going to try a comparison point here. A few of these cinnamon sugars, not because I just want to eat them. It's because, you know, science comparisons.
You know, science.
Oh, cinnamon, good though.
The cinnamon sugar ones are fantastic to me.
I think the cinnamon ones are even better than the caramel, and I love the caramel.
They are, I think.
Because the thing they did with this, which is a really interesting little twist when you're making a snack like this, you gotta have the cinnamon and sugar. You know that going in. But what they do is they add the little vibe of a buttery taste in there. So it's almost like a cinnamon toast flavor.
Good.
Those are fantastic. I mean, those are a real home run.
You know,
I'll give these a 14 and these a 15.
Okay, so caramel, 14. Cinnamon sugar, 15 from Pat. Jeffy, scale from 1 to 18, as 18 is the highest number you can count to.
The caramel ones are good. They do. Man.
That wasn't the question.
This is the best part of this segment, just trying to see him get to a number.
Yeah, because it's impossible.
I thought that's what you wanted me to do. I was trying to get right, there so with telling you how good they were.
So
caramel
do.
Ones are good. Cinnamon ones are even better. So it probably should be ranked higher than the caramel.
Yes, Jeffy.
Do you have a number?
If the cinnamon ones are better, you should make...
I do have a number. Dirk Nowitzki, the Dallas Mavericks.
41?
He's going to get 30,000. 30,000 points tonight.
Oh, really?
The Dallas Mavericks. Do you believe that?
That's not the number we
that's
are
unbelievable
looking for.
To me.
I don't really care.
Wow.
What does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Caramel's probably... What'd you say, Pat? 13?
Why are you
no, I said 14 to 15.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Okay, let me give you an actual number. I will give the cinnamon sugar ones, a 16. I'm a huge fan of these.
Whoa, wow.
If you want a sweet snack that's crunchy, mm-hmm. Can't say enough about the Cheetos Sweetos cinnamon sugar puffs. Yeah.
These would be great on a long car trip where you're just, you don't want to get messy stuff all over you right. while you're driving
yeah.
or open up messy stuff in the car and have crap and crumbs all over the place. They're great.
We like them because they're clean.
Mm-hmm.
The caramel ones aren't bad. I definitely like them.
No, they're good.
But they're a downgrade to me from cinnamon
well,
sugar.
The cinnamon.
I'll hit the caramel ones, I'll give a 12.
Oh.
So 16 and a 12 for
the
me.
The caramel ones you can eat alone, but they'll be better with milk. The cinnamon ones, the cinnamon ones you can just eat alone.
Every time. I'm going to hit him so hard.
I hate
him. It'll kill his whole
family. I actually really despise him.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a bit. It's
you
not a bit.
You can't help but. Mm-hmm. You can't help but hate his guts.
All right. So buy these. They're good.
All right, we're going to get to one of the strangest customs in Congress and take a look at what that is, because there's a lot of strange customs, but here's the strangest. Here it is. There, right there.
Blew out my eardrum.
On the first day of a new session, they display their bouquets on their Senate desks. Custom had to be stopped in 1914 after arrangements became so ostentatious that they blocked the aisles. Really? That's weird. I've never heard of that. And they hid the senators from view. One tradition still going on strong in 2017.
They still got plenty of admirers.
Senators taking things to extremes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. A little joke there at the end.
Yeah.
My headphones blew out there, so.
Why?
I don't know. Just a large screeching noise in the middle. Extreme pain
in
the ear. So I don't know. I assume I'm on.
Didn't seem to last long enough. You ought to try to stick them back in again.
Really?
Just to see if they work. Yeah, just see if they work.
Try it again? I guess I could. So yeah, that is very weird. I would think, too, that would be banned by some, like, you can't give gifts to Congress type of act that is now in place that wasn't
right.
back then.
Yeah.
So that's kind of bizarre.
Plus, you know those Dingleberries were sending themselves flowers just to show off in front of their peers.
Yeah.
I got the most flowers. More women like me.
I mean, that's embarrassing. It's weird and embarrassing.
I mean, I guess in theory, like, there is a moment which would be, it would be nice if we actually respected what these guys did. But then we get health care bills like we got today, and it's like, the last thing I want to do is send them flowers.
Boy, no kidding.
I want to send them, rotting foods so they don't, like, smell up their offices.
Rotting fish would be good.
Rotting fish is a good one.
Yeah, that'd be a really good one. I wonder if we should launch an effort. Perhaps that would be...
As long as the fish have their memory erased.
Ill-advised. Is that what you were about to say?
Ill-advised.
It would be ill-advised.
Yeah, probably ill-advised.
As long as the fish have their memories erased.
Right. Yeah,
888-727 back. There is more patents too coming momentarily.
We love you, Cheetos. We love you, Chester the Cheetah.
It is Pat and Stu, 888-727 Beck. Glenn recently talked with his team in the think tank about Obamacare and the new immigration plan, which fantastic. I mean, he didn't get rid of DACA, which we're all really excited about.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
Continuing the dream people thing, which is awesome.
Well, healthcare, you want to keep most of Obamacare.
And you want to keep most
the majority of it.
Of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe eliminate a couple of things. Mm. And maybe not. Maybe just delay some of it. Anyway, here's their discussion on a recent think tank.
All right, where do we start here on the next?
See, we start with Andrea. You want to hit the Rand Paul speaking of secret courts.
Secret meetings falls right in line with that. So Republicans are trying to decide what this next health care bill is going to look like, and they're doing it behind closed doors. And so Rand Paul basically called them out this week. Why don't we just look at the SOT 2.
We're here today because I would like to read the Obamacare bill. If you recall, when Obamacare was passed in 2010, 2009, 2010, Nancy Pelosi said, "You'll know what's in it after we pass it." The Republican Party shouldn't act in the same way. We want to see the bill. We have many objections. There are many parts of what they're proposing, and of course, we've not gotten any of this in writing. I got it from Politico, all right? I haven't gotten anything in writing from anyone. So we're here asking for a written copy of this because this should be an open and transparent process.
It's driving me nuts.
How come he was such a failure on the campaign trail? He's right about that stuff.
I know, he's right about a lot of stuff, but he was horrible on the campaign trail.
Thank goodness he is drawing attention to this because it begs the question, is it right for our representatives not to be able to see the bill?
No.
Everybody should be able to see this because as an American citizen, I vote for a representative to represent me, and if they can't see it, that's not representing the American people.
It's awful. It is absolutely what the Democrats did.
Caleb's going to disagree
saying,
here.
They're saying that the reason why they're doing this is because Trump does not want a repeal without a significant replacement. And, you know,
there's rumors it's going to be almost the same deal,
almost
just
the same
slightly
deal.
Different.
Yeah.
But I think part of this is Trump, but I think part of this is the problems we've seen with Congress and the Senate for so long. It's these rhino Republicans that get in there and they would prefer to have the power themselves and decide for the rest of the country behind a closed door.
Well, I don't know how Paul Ryan was the Antichrist 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now he's the best friend of the president, and everybody's cheering.
So he wasn't the friend of the president in the campaign process. Republicans bow every time to the person that's in power, regardless of who it is.
So I really like Rand Paul, but it's not completely true. We do have some of it. There's about 37 pages.
That's what they've leaked, though.
Yeah.
No, this is what Paul Ryan published June 22nd, 2016.
Right.
This is their initial outline of what their health care reform is going to look like.
They're 34 saying it's
pages,
changed a lot.
They're saying that it's hundreds of pages.
Yeah, and of course it's going to expand. But the process right now, as Paul Ryan was explaining it over the weekend, was what they're doing differently from the Democrats is instead of taking one bill, shoving down their throat, they're taking the bill and they're going to each subcommittee who helps craft the bill and letting them build off of this original 37 pages. So we have a good outline of what their plan is going to look like. But I agree with you. We should, before they start voting, we need to see the full text. But I like Rand Paul, but a little of it is out there. There is some on paper we can read.
But as a representative, you don't want to just read 37 pages and give it to everybody and say,
yeah, and I'll accept that if they give everybody a legitimate amount of time to read before it's voted on. If they announce it the night before and, oh, here's the bill, and it's night before the vote, forget it.
Pressure to pass it at that point for all of these representatives is so high that they don't take the time to really debate. You know, I look back at our founding father era, they would spend weeks in a hot room debating an issue. I think that some of these decisions should be debated on the floor. And if it takes them a few weeks debating healthcare, let it happen. Let C-SPAN cover it live because that's where ideas are sharpened and you get the best possible result for the
American
people.
Who here likes the new healthcare plan?
Well, we don't really know what it is.
No, for the company. Who likes the new company healthcare plan?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't actually had an issue yet.
You haven't had an issue yet?
Two, really,
three.
Yeah.
Caleb has
a little early in the year for
us. Well, maybe
know.
It's just my circle. I mean, everybody in my circle is dying because can't get the medicine that we want, can't get the treatment that you want. Your doctor will say something, you're like, you've had this?
I've had an issue. Yeah.
Okay, right?
It's not fun.
It is something that we agonized over for, well, I know that
a long time.
Misty was doing almost a year's worth of work. Months to be able to do just the health care for the people who work in this building. What? Are you kidding me? The people who are supposed to be agonizing on it are all of our representatives, not just a handful.
Yeah.
And if they're only given a few hours, it's just as bad, if not worse, than the Democrats, because we are supposed to know better. We were outraged last time this happened.
Agreed. I just think Rand Paul shouldn't say there's nothing out there, because there's a foundation out there.
Who's leading this up? Is it like leading up the whole? Oh, is it Paul Ryan?
It's Paul Ryan.
And then is there anyone else that we know of?
He's sent it off to the different subcommittees that are going to.
Let me go to Jason. Jason, the new executive order today on immigration.
Yep, signed today. Basically, they were like a lot smarter than they were before. They dropped. It's still, instead of seven countries, it's six countries that are affected.
Who are they dropping?
They dropped Iraq.
Iraq. Yep. But yeah,
they only wanted to get that guy from the Oscars. That's it.
He was from Iran.
I'm shocked he didn't add Mexico as part of it now. That just is a little. Iraq and adding them.
I take issue with the way it's being reported, because they're still saying it's six Muslim majority countries, which is so misleading. You could just say six conflict zones in the world where there's current terrorist recruitment, you know. And
well, they would have if Barack Obama would have done it.
Huh?
They would have done that if Barack Obama would have issued this executive order.
Oh, sure.
It's only 18% of the Muslim world population.
Right. It's incredibly weak. Like, most of the threat is, like we've talked about before, that's in like Western Europe right now. Mm. Immigrants that are already still there. There's no. So he was very, very conservative with this. Very. He also added in green card holders aren't affected this time. Current visa holders are not affected this time. Syrians refugees are not on an indefinite ban. He changed that. It was done a lot smarter. Plus, it doesn't go in effect immediately today. It's like a 10-day wait period, I think.
Oh, really?
So they actually learned a little bit from last time. So
that's
good.
Kudos.
That's good. That's good. And Nathan, Tony Blair.
The Tony Blair thing. Well, so it's the Daily Mail in the UK that had this story over the weekend, reporting about his three secret meetings that he's had since September with Jared Kushner. And there's claiming that they have a source that says he's basically interviewing to be some sort of special Middle Eastern envoy of the Trump administration. So it's just kind of strange.
Warning.
Yeah.
This is what we worried about, because it's all of his children are liberals, like hardcore liberals. And so Kushner, I'm assuming, is as well. I don't know, but I'm assuming. But Tony Blair is a card-carrying member of the Fabian Society, best friends with the Clintons. I mean, he was the one that kind of orchestrated, along with President Bush, this whole new world order that was going to happen in the Middle East and all this interventionalism that was going to take place. He is the guy that basically, he's the exact opposite of what Trump campaigned on as far as what the role the United States would play out in the world. The exact opposite.
But what he campaigned on, not what he is or what he's willing to do.
Right.
I think that's the key.
Well, you see a huge change in the way they're looking at foreign policy now. They're going more toward, like he said a lot of stuff before, but now this kind of he's kind of taking a step back. Tillerson's a whole lot smarter than we thought. General Mattis.
Have you guys read the story of how Reince Priebus is being treated as the president on Capitol Hill?
No.
Yeah, they're saying that he's really the de facto president here, that the people in Capitol Hill are not reaching out to Trump. They're just reaching out to Reince. Because Reince is the one that's really kind of setting the agenda, et cetera. Do you believe that?
Will Trump keep track of what's going on with The Apprentice? I mean, he won't know.
All right.
There's no way Bannon would allow Reince to be the actual president. It's Bannon.